Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, salutations, and hello. I'm so glad to be here. I am Ellen Hartwell. This is Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres, and I'm so excited to announce the next 12 shows. Count them. Next 12 shows are going to be about the 12 steps. Most of you know about them from NA or AA. And the 12-step program is an excellent one. And we're not talking about them from the point of view of recovery, although there are no graduates and you don't recover, and I get all that. But we're not talking about it from that perspective. We're applying the 12 steps to our metaphysical point of view, and how can this be 12 more tools in our toolbox as we learn to create the reality we desire, as we learn to glom on to the unseen and bring it into the scene. So I'm excited about it. I don't quite know how this is all going to go, but I'm excited about it because I love a new venture like this. So the next 12 episodes of Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres will be on the 12 steps and how it applies to our metaphysical perspective. Woot, woot. Please wear a mask. Please wash your hands. Woot, woot. Please, if it's safe for you to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. We want to step on this thing. We really do. Protect yourself. Protect others. You know the drill. Please do it. Thank you. Without further ado, yes, we don't know what ado is, but it sounds good, doesn't it? So without further ado, I am so honored to introduce my rather charming, quite handsome, I might add, dear friend, mentor, and co-host, John Warren. How are you today?
No, I'm really good, Ellen. You've already made me really happy with a couple of word choices. But glom on to the unseen and bring it into the scene. I love that, glom on. Like, come on, get over here, unseen. It's time you were seen. I love that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, too, just because I love the cleanliness. I mean, and I'm sure I will end up talking about this more than once, but the 12 steps have been so influential in my lives and the lives of so many people that I know. And I really do think it's kind of the basic training of metaphysics. Obviously there are 1,000 ways to get to where we're clear and manifesting, but this is one of the ways, and it's one of the most influential ways in the country that we live in and the world that we live in right now. And I just find that it is so, they're flossing tools. They clean you out. They give you fresh metaphysical breath, the 12 steps. So I'm excited about this. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Clean breath, people. Clean breath, important. Yes, please, before you breathe on me. But it won't matter because you're wearing a mask. I did work that in, didn't I? Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I just can't help myself. I can't. So anyway, the 12 steps, if you don't know what they are, it's easy to find. Look it up on the internet, or maybe you have the big book or whatever, but they're available to all easily, and they're really wonderful. And Bill W., who started this whole ball of wax, had some kind of insight and inspiration, whatever happened. So the first, we thank Bill W. and those around him. Yes, so, and God, of course. But the first step, And there are lots of ways of saying this, but the easiest one I know is that we admitted we were powerless over alcohol or something, that our lives had become unmanageable. So we don't want to get dramatic here. We really don't, although it's rather fun. But we don't want to get dramatic. It's not unmanageable if you get in your car and go, oh, did I turn the stove off? And you run back in and check. If you run back in and check 40 times, that's a bit unmanageable. You're going to be late for work. Or whether it's a substance, or it can be a person, I suppose, where you just can't drop it, let it go, move on, grow past. I mean, what makes your life unmanageable, meaning it interferes with the normal flow of a day, and what makes you feel powerless? Now, we don't like to think about being powerless. it's an uncomfortable feeling. It's kind of an uncomfortable word, even powerless. Oh, poor me. I'm powerless over this. There's nothing I can do. It's out of my control. I'm powerless. Well, lots of things are. The weather. I have no power over the weather or volcanoes or hurricanes or earthquakes or tornadoes or any of that. I have no power over that. I am powerless to those things. It's how it is. So if one of them comes along, it's how I respond to it that counts. And so I try to be wise and smart and all that. So, and so do you, and I know it. But there are things that we believe, note the word, believe we are powerless to, but in fact we're not. But if we are feeling powerless to something and our lives are unmanageable, again, it stops the flow of your day in some major way, then yeah, we're feeling pretty powerless and it is unmanageable. What the heck do we do with that? Well, as metaphysicians, you are, I am, or I'm learning to be, whatever, we look at it, we gather our courage and admit, it's a big word, admit to ourselves and hopefully at least one other person you trust, but admit to ourselves that, you know what, that has me, I don't have it. That dictates my day. That means that I am thinking about food all day long. It means that I am making deals. Well, I won't eat that donut now. I'll eat it in an hour and so forth. Now, of course, that may be a dumb example, but anything that we are overwhelmed by, feel powerless to, and our lives are unmanageable, we want to look at it and say, you know what, John, I'm in trouble. I'm going to use food. I'm in trouble with food. I think about it all day long. I make bargains with myself. I won't eat that now. I'll eat that later. Or I'm not going to eat it all because I know I look like the Goodyear blimp when, in fact, I don't. And even if you do, you should eat. Eat healthfully. You know the drill. I'm not going to go over all that. But that's unmanageable. I can't think about anything else. I'm constantly dealing with food, food, food. I'm planning my next meal or how not to eat it, whichever the case may be, overeating, undereating. But it's a real problem for many, many people, and I think I'm picking food because we have to eat. We don't have to drink alcohol. We don't have to do a lot of things, but we do have to eat. And so coming up with a food plan can be an arduous task, but if we take that first step, I admit that I am powerless to this, that my life is unmanageable, and I admit that to myself, guess what starts to happen? I start to have ideas. I start to have a sense of, well, maybe I could this, and maybe I could that, and maybe there is something in me that will help me to become powerful as opposed to powerless. Maybe I can't. No, I can't. I have to just go eat something right now, or I have to go buy 10 hot fudge sundaes and eat them all at once, or I need to starve myself for a week because I ate a cracker. You guys know these issues, or many of you do, and it is not funny, and it is not fun, and it is a very difficult thing, whatever the addiction is I'm picking on food. But there are plenty of them. And so when I say to myself and to someone else I trust, I am in a real trouble with this, I am not eating enough or I'm eating too much, and then I take one little tiny step toward my courage which lives within me, and I say, I am admitting to myself that I'm out of control here, I am powerless. And then I sit with it. I don't run from it. I don't go, I don't want to think about that, I'm not dealing with that, goodbye, 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 I'm not thinking about this, even though you are, I'm not thinking about this. And you say, no, I'm going to look at this thing dead on in the eye and say, okay, hey, you, whether it's food, alcohol, tobacco, whatever it is. And I say, yep, you know what, you got me. I'll admit it, you got me. But only temporarily, you. Because I know that within myself is a power so great and so amazing, because I've already proved to myself I can manifest a parking spot and $5 and more. We've been over this, you know. And what happens? Yep, your vibration gets higher. And when your vibration is higher, yes, the manifestation is quicker, but also you get more clarity. You get more, a little glimmer of confidence. I can do this. Yeah, you can. And I can too. And so we can. So let's look at that. Yep, I'm scared half out of my mind. I do not want to admit to myself or to anyone else what this addiction has done to my life. And in some people's lives, it's been absolutely hideous, jail, death, all kinds of things. And in some people's lives, it's a big secret. People have no idea. Bring that secret out. Look at it right in the eye and say, nope. I have within me what I need to begin. I said begin to chip away at this until I've already chipped off the less, off of power. And then I add on full. I am not powerless. I am powerful with the help of the God of my understanding. Yep, sounds easy, doesn't it? No, it's not. And it is a process, and it does take practice, practice, practice. It just does. And it's not like, oh, well, I'm so weak, I can't avoid that donut or that drink or whatever. I'm just weak. I'm flawed. I have some kind of character flaw. Well, you probably do. I sure know I do. But that's for later. What you do is you look it in the eye and you take a deep breath and say, I am powerless over this because my life is unmanageable because of it. And that begins to stop right now. Right in this little second, I am going to start looking at what I can do so that the un leaves the manageable and it becomes manageable and the less leaves the power and I'm powerful. So I am powerful and this is manageable. And we get there by truly admitting it to ourselves and hopefully to one other person that we trust that this is where I'm at. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stay here. I am a work in progress. I am moving forward step by step. Now, the 12 steps are wonderful tools if you have an addiction. They work. It's proven time and time and time again. They work. Use the tools. They do work. Now, back to food. So let's say that just right now you're admitting to yourself that you have an issue with food. Okay, good for you. You admitted it. Ideally, you're going to tell somebody you trust, hey, Jane, I have a problem with food. You do? I never noticed that. You're not underweight. You're not overweight. Oh, you don't know what I go through to maintain this particular body weight. Really? Well, like what? Oh, I can't talk about it. Okay, well, when you're ready to talk about it, I'm ready to listen and be supportive and non-judgmental. Well, actually, I purge. Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. What can we do? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, you're a smart woman and man and you'll figure it out. One step at a time, and the first step, you just took it. I admitted I was powerless, and my life has become unmanageable because of this. I'm risking my health. I'm risking my life. And I'm probably not very nice to other people when they get in the way of my addiction. So I am going to take one little baby step after this one where I have admitted, then, and I've told somebody I trust, ideally, and then I am going to go to the God of my understanding and say, excuse me, God, yeah, I have a problem here. Yeah, I wondered when you were going to talk to me about it. Do that. Just do that. If you don't have another human in your life that you trust, I'm sorry, but the God of your understanding is 100% there and 100% trustworthy. Talk to the Spirit. Talk to Source. Talk to the universe, but talk about it. And be so honest that you can't even believe how honest you're being, because you'll find that in admitting that you feel powerless and admitting that your life has become unmanageable, you've already taken that first step. I've admitted it. That is powerful. To admit it and to begin the process of doing something about it. That means that you have grabbed on to your authentic self who lives brightly within you and is full of courage and love and forgiveness and strength. And that authentic self will help you as you make this first step. And then, of course, we'll move on to other steps. But this first step is so important because so often we don't admit. We just don't admit it. We deny it to ourselves. We deny it to others. And that makes it even more powerful over us, leaving us feeling powerless. But you're not. Not if you take these steps. Also, when you look at how your life has become unmanageable, the worst thing you can do is beat yourself up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't beat yourself up. You admit it and you take that journey into yourself saying, okay, I may not know how I'm going to become powerful and manage this, but I will figure it out step by step by step. Because can you? Yes, it's all a matter of will you, and I believe you will, and I know I'm working on it too. Next week's show is about that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, because that powerlessness, that unmanageability is not sane, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. So the next step is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore, very important word, restore us to sanity. I can't wait to talk with you about that. And you are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres, and we'd love to hear from you about this or any other topic or questions, whatever. Go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. You can reach John Warren and myself there. We'd love to hear from you. Wear a mask, wash your hands, get vaccinated. If it's safe for you, okay, John. Let her rip. Tater chip.
I love you slid it all in, Ellen. You got it all done.
I did it, John?
Yeah, well, you're good at it. You're very good. Your career in broadcasting, anytime you want it, I can tell that.
you
the,
too.
Well, yeah, let's go. Let's get it done.
Hey, John, let's do a show.
What the hell? Yes. I'll get some curtains made out of sheets and we can do it in the barn.
Okay.
Am I Judy Garland or Mickey Rooney, though, is the real question. I feel like
Mickey Rooney.
I could be either.
Mickey Rooney.
All right. You
and I'm
fine.
Whoever
good,
that
good
guy
job.
Was that played Alfalfa in The Little Rascals.
Oh, it was very cute. You're mixing up your film.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'm allowed.
You're making it up. Okay, so the first step, where are we going with this? Interestingly, are you leaving me, Ellen? Goodbye? Is that what's happening? You already have. Ellen, you touched on so many good things.
Yes, I'm muting.
Interesting. Goodbye. Bye-bye. The interesting thing about the first step, or actually the interesting thing about this project, and I just realized it just now, of doing all steps is because, and I want to do it from a metaphysical standpoint, if you're listening to this and you're having a problem with addiction, you know what, go to find a person who's involved with whatever 12-step program that you want to be involved with or find a treatment center. Do your thing. We are not talking about this from the standpoint of treating addiction. We are talking about this from the standpoint of metaphysics. I want to be really clear about that. As metaphysicians, as people who are we're almost taking a step back. And I also want to be clear about something else too, because most of the time what we talk about on the show is how we get to the place or where we are more cleanly and actively demonstrating in our lives what we want to demonstrate in our lives. It's actually a very simple process, but it seems to take on endless iterations, and we discuss them. We take it from different angles. They're kind of like sermons in a metaphysical church, and that's what we do here. In a way, and this is my experience with this, what's interesting about this project of doing 12 steps in a row is one so naturally leads to the next if you are involved and you are sincerely doing what is, and these were written in English, and this is the language that Ellen and I, this is our native language. I don't know what anybody, listeners' native language are, but we are blessed that it was written in English, so there's not a lot of interpretation there, written in recent English, 20th century English, and so there's not a lot of interpretation there, and the words are so clean and specific with these 12 steps that one leads naturally to the next, so obviously, when you pay attention to the words that they are, the language they're written in, the words that were chosen, and I know a bit about the history of this. They came from a six-step program from something called the Oxford Group, And then they evolved. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith evolved them, and they have been massaged a little bit here and there, but they're largely the same as they were in the early 1930s. And Ellen hit on this, and this is important, metaphysically speaking, because she zeroed in on certain words, because we can scan, and as metaphysicians, the reason why these are so helpful is because they are almost the step before. Now, people who aren't addicts don't necessarily have to do it, but people who are in any way, anything in your life that has caused you suffering or even aggravation, which is a form of suffering, that you have no power over, that is actually applies here. This is why this step applies. Whether it be, and I talked to Ellen yesterday a bit, and we talked about this, I live in Los Angeles, so LA traffic. I sincerely have no power over rush hour traffic in Los Angeles. However, I do have power over other aspects of traffic, meaning when do I drive? Where do I live? I don't have to live in Los Angeles. I could leave. You know, I choose to live here for other reasons, in spite of, not because of. And there's all sorts of reasons why people do things. There are elements that I do have power over, but the point I want to make is that the reason why this step could apply to anybody is because if you are in metaphysics, you probably got here because you wanted to change something in your life. That's what you were uncomfortable with something, and you wanted an answer to try and change it. And so you said, I want, to the God of your understanding or the universe or whatever, or just to yourself, you said, I want this. And you got here. And we are here to give you a path to explaining how the universe works, how God works through us. Now, one of the things that we have to do first is clean out. And a metaphysician from the early 20th century, late 19th century, called Florence Scovel Shinn, has a whole chapter in her books about this, about cleaning out and making space for the next thing to come. And largely what the 12 steps are, and I realized it as Ellen was talking, because they flow so naturally, one connected to the other, is, and I truly believe this, especially the first nine, are house cleaning. You are cleaning your house from the things that stop your manifestation. So I'm going to say, I admit that I am powerless over Joe Blow, who I love, right? I'm obsessed with this person and da 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 da. And yet the truth is, and the pain that my life has been caused is because I've done all this crazy stuff because Joe Blow won't pay attention to me. I've driven by his house. I obsess about him. I get distracted at work because of blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the reality. I am powerless over Joe Blow. You are powerless over Joe Blow. Make it Josephine Blow-a-fiend, if you like. That works, too. Whatever you like. Whoever you're obsessed with, you know, if you've had this romantic kind of entanglement, it's a great example of this. And you know something when it has made your life unmanageable, meaning – you're doing things that no rational person would do, and it has taken over your life. And this can be food. It can be another person. Goodness knows. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're a horrible alcoholic or you're shooting heroin, though that can also apply here, obviously. Are there things in your life which you are in fact powerless over, but they cause you aggravation and grief? And we apply the rest of the steps when our lives, it becomes unmanageable. I had this, and I'm going to admit something very clearly here. Recently, meaning in the last 5 years, it has become clear to me that with food, to my surprise, that I was addicted. Now, I was not addicted to food necessarily, because there's a lot of good food. And interestingly, if you have food addiction issues, you will probably note this. It's addiction to junk food. It's addiction to overeating is really what it is. It's powerlessness over overeating. Because I got to tell you, I realized I never went to the market and obsessed about whether I should buy the apples or not. And because it just occurred, it's like, well, you know, okay, buy the apples. It doesn't matter if I do or not. It didn't actually – I walked right past them. However, the crap – like the food that's going to knock out my feelings, that became something, became clear. And then I realized, and I'm being very open about this, like, oh, this is affecting me. I don't go social events that I would go to because I feel like I'm too big. My health is being affected by this. I'm having some weird stuff because I'm overweight, and I'm overweight because I use food as a whatever, fill in the blank. And so I had to get to a point where I could say out loud to myself, mostly, I had to admit, and that is another great word, and I'm so grateful, Ellen, that you hammered on this word, admit, just deal with it, accept it, surrender to the reality. You are powerless, and I'm talking to myself now, John, you are powerless over food, over essentially bad food, end of the day junk food that knocks out your feelings. And if I was powerful over it, this is what would have naturally happened. This is what naturally happens is, you know what, I'm not going to do that tonight because it adds up to I feel bad in the morning and then I'm going to gain a bunch of weight. You know what, I'm going to have a really crazy meal on Saturday and I'm really going to enjoy it. And then in that moment, what I'm doing is I'm being powerful over my decision-making process. I'm not powerless in that moment. I'm powerless because, like, oh, my gosh, it's 4 o'clock. What am I going to eat tonight? And what has happened, what happened in the past, I'm on the other side of a lot of this, but what happens to a lot of people is, and apply this to anybody, and I talk to a lot of people in terms of, intuitive work and manifestation work, and there's a lot of romance problems and, a lot of apply. If you have a romantic interest that isn't working out the way you want to because you think that other person is not behaving the way you think you can, apply this step. Admit that you're powerless over the other person. So I had to admit that I was powerless over this thing that was happening with food that wasn't good for me and that it had made my life unmanageable, which was true. I was in denial about it. This is not that long ago. Denial about it. Now, the interesting thing about this is because I have experience with this steps in other areas, I knew immediately that the relief began immediately. It may not start immediately, but it really began immediately because I know the steps 1 through 9 in this that Ellen and I are going to talk about, both from an addictive standpoint and from a metaphysical standpoint, are cleaning the house so that you can actually get the new furniture in. You can get the right relationship with food. You can get the right relationship with the right person. And just as a side note, I want to say, if you could control the other person that you want in your life, that by default means they could control you, and that's why it doesn't work. We are powerless over other people, and it has to be that way. We can help them. We can pray for them. We can treat for them, all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, we can lead a horse to the water. We can show them the water. We can do all the things. But we can't make them drink. We can't make them love us. We can't make them stop being, doing self-harm things. We can't do it by and large. So we're powerless over that. And depending on how far things have gone, it can make our lives unmanageable. And it's very interesting, as I said, to cut this up into 12 segments, because the next natural step is we have great news for you. The steps bring great news, and the great news is coming really quickly next Tuesday, noon Pacific, 3 o'clock on the East Coast, on Blog Talk, on this show. The really good news is that you come to believe, which is a process, the power greater than yourself, because you think you have, I thought I had power over the food. Oh, I'll just do this. I'll go on this diet and that diet, and there'll be 1,000. I have power over this. All of those diets are implications of I have power that I don't have. Like, no, you don't have any power over this anymore. And people, I have a dear friend who was heroin junkie, and she has to surrender this stuff almost every day. And it's been many years since she shot up heroin, but it's still there. It's still there. And we came to believe, remind ourselves that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to what? To sanity. Because sane people don't abuse their bodies every night with pizza or drive by their obsession's house at 3 a.m. to see if they're with another person. Yada, yada. That's not actually sanity. And it can get much worse than that. And I do not mean to be flip. Came to believe, which we'll talk about next week, is such an important process. And if you're listening to this show, you're already 2/3 of the way there. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't if you weren't in the process of coming to believe or already a believer. You just wouldn't be here. That's the way the universe works. But, before I finish, and I'm almost done, I want to wind up and hammer home the two most important things to start the house cleaning process so you can get what you want in your life is admit what you're powerless over. I'm powerless over that. And that if it has made your life unmanageable, admit that it's made your life unmanageable, because next week at the same bat time on the same bat channel, we're going to talk about surrender and talk about letting it go, letting it go. That's the end of my rant. I hope I made sense. This is an interesting problem. I have to arm wrestle with this one a little bit, Ellen, to get to, like,
okay,
oh,
no, it was great, John. We're going to get cut off. But, yes, next week came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We thank you for listening. Make room for what you want to bring from the unseen to the seen.
Yay!